Hello, and welcome to In the Limelight, Vanity Fair's entertainment and pop culture podcast. I'm Josh Duboff, Vanity Fair's senior writer, and I'm here with Julie Miller, Vanity Fair's senior Hollywood writer.
On In the Limelight, we analyze the ins and outs of pop culture, entertainment, and celebrity from the past week, from the Kardashians to Kate Middleton and everything in between.
On this week's episode, drumroll please, the advice Meghan is giving Kate.
Woo-hoo.
The intrigue. We're just going to leave it like that, and you're going to have to listen on to find out what that advice was.
Right, right. And note that this is not the advice Kate asked Meghan to give her.
Exactly.
Also, an unlikely new character emerges in the Jen-Justin split fallout. Plus, Harry's ex-girlfriends are going to his wedding.
I love the way you delivered that.
I really leaned into the Access Hollywood delivery style.
Mm-hmm. We're really teasing everything, and you have to listen on for the answers.
Right.
We're starting with Kate and Meghan, though. What? Well, I guess we're starting with Kate.
Right. Last week, we talked a little bit about how Kate and William went to the BAFTA Awards. William is the president of BAFTAs. They looked amazing. I lamented the fact that there weren't any photos on Getty of Kate and William interacting with, like, Frances McDormand, because that would be my dream conversation. But I believe it was over the weekend, Allison Janney, who's been on the award circuit for I, Tonya, volunteered that she actually did meet Kate and William. And it was kind of the encounter I feel like Josh or I would have offered, right?
Yeah, I love that she spoke about it so candidly.
Right. She visited James Corden and she showed this picture. By the end of the evening, Allison Janney's like 6 feet tall and she was sick of wearing her heels. So she just kind of tossed them off. Have no idea where they were, but there was actually a photo of her leaving the BAFTAs, stepping actually onto a London street barefoot.
Wait, really? That she showed that photo? I missed that.
Yes, yes. So I guess, I'm not sure at what point in the evening she met Kate and William, but she said, I did meet Kate and William, and she was in her heels and pregnant, so I did feel like a little bit of a wimp that I was there in my bare feet. She was my height when I was in my bare feet. It's extraordinary that she is that tall, because I believe Kate's like 5'9", is that right?
Wait, so I never really connected. Kate's pretty tall then.
Right, she's very tall. But when she met her, I guess Allison was so overcome with humiliation that she was in her bare feet, because you can see that she's like, her gown doesn't completely cover her feet, that she acknowledged it. And I feel like this is what you or I would have done. She said it was an awkward moment. I told her I was in bare feet and told her she should take her shoes off because she's pregnant. It was an awkward moment because I called her honey, and that might not have been royal protocol, but she was lovely. They loved I, Tonya. It was a cool thing to meet them. James Corden asked Allison if Allison asked any follow-up questions, like to make sure they had actually seen the film. Allison said she considered it, but she did not put them on the spot.
Oh, so but then how does she know they saw I, Tonya?
Well, they said, like, we loved you and I, Tonya.
Oh, but we don't know if that was just them being polite or not.
Right, right.
It's so hard for me to imagine them watching like a somewhat edgy movie. Do you know what I mean?
Right.
Just because I, Tonya is such an out there film. It's like somehow very hard for me to imagine Kate getting into it.
Right, right. I can't think of an awards movie they could relate to less.
Would you be more mortified about, I'm trying to think if I was in the situation that Allison Janney was in, if I'd be more mortified by the bare feet after the encounter, if I'd be more mortified that I called Kate Middleton honey.
I think the bare feet. I think maybe Kate thought it was endearing that she would, because I'm sure no one calls her honey. It's not like this was Queen Elizabeth, right?
You're not. I mean, I'm going off of, I mean, obviously, Allison Janney's fine. No one's going to reprimand her, but you're not. There's very strict things about what you're supposed to refer to them as. I remember that from when Kate and William visited New York, and I had to cover that event from like a corner in the room they were in. But everyone who came to the event, they went through the whole, you know, what you refer to them as, that kind of thing, and like how you're supposed to greet them. But I guess Allison Janney can basically do what she wants. If anyone can, she can, I feel.
Right. Even if Kate loved it, I'm sure there's some royal staffer who's since like added her to the blacklist.
Yeah.
Allison Janney will never be invited to another royal event.
Some alarm is going to go off the next time she tries to get like within a mile radius of the palace.
they're posting her photo up in the security booth.
I don't really get, was it an unexpected, I think I have to watch the full interview, was it an unexpected encounter, or did she know when she had the bare feet she was going to be meeting Kate? Do you know what I mean? I guess she was just at the BAFTA, so maybe she didn't know at that moment that that was going to be when Kate was going to be near her or something.
Right, right. They didn't really clarify that. I kind of assumed that Allison would have taken her heels off towards the end of the evening. So,
interesting.
I don't know.
I also always imagine that if you're Kate and William, do they have, you know, an aide or someone like Julia Louis-Dreyfus has on Veep? I think we've talked about this before, who whispers in their ear who these people are and what their movie was, you know? I feel like that must be kind of stressful. I doubt they're keeping up on the latest in pop culture and film and television.
Right.
Like, imagine meeting Allison Janney and having no clue who she was, how you'd get out of that.
Right. Right. No, I think that's definitely the case. I can't see her watching like episodes of Mom or something.
I wish Kate Middleton was going to the Oscars.
Ugh, me too. I would take any royal family member except Meghan.
Maybe Meghan will fly in to present Best Picture or something.
Right. Casey Affleck is not presenting Best Actress this year, so maybe it'll be Meghan Markle.
There's an opening for Meghan. Suits, actress, and more. Speaking of Meghan, we have to answer the tease we posed earlier about the advice that Meghan gave Kate. I'm excited for this.
So Us Weekly posted a report titled, a report. I make that sound so important and
it's basically
scholarly.
Up there with, UN documents.
How Meghan Markle has helped Kate during her difficult pregnancy. I have never clicked anything faster in my life because, as we know, Kate has already endured two very difficult pregnancies, is more than two-thirds of her way through her latest, and Meghan has carried more Deal or No Deal briefcases than she has babies. So I couldn't wait to hear what advice she had to offer. But this is what Us actually says. Fortunately, Kate's future sister-in-law, Meghan Markle, is just a short walk away. The start of the article talked about how difficult this pregnancy is for Kate. It continues, the former suit star often pops over from the palace's Nottingham Cottage, where she lives with fiancé Prince Harry, to share a cup of tea or offer up some advice. Says one source, she shares tips she's read about healthy eating.
God. I mean, I feel like I have to say Us may have over-promised with this headline, because I wanted some really weird, specific advice, you know?
But this does sound very Meghan, to just offer advice that no one's asking for about, like, healthy eating, right?
I know. I really should have put money on healthy eating. That completely makes sense to me for what Meghan's guidance would be related to. I read an interesting, do you see the Fug Girls, friends of the podcast, wrote an article, I think last week for Bustle, I think, about how like there's all this pressure on Kate and Meghan to be tight and we should just sort of let them be. And that when you have a sister, you know, a new sister-in-law that you're entering into the family, there's no reason that you would hit it off and we're putting all this pressure on them. How do you feel about that?
I agree. I agree with that. I was just still thinking about the alarm system I would have like mocked up if I were Kate Middleton. I would have like bells. I would have some like code of what everybody's supposed to do, an excuse of where Kate is supposed to be.
God, and also you're so right that the dropping by is so intense because it's not, she can't really hide.
She can't really hide, right? Like if she's out doing something, the world knows. So
right.
I don't know
so
how
she's basically around in the palace. They live next door to Meghan and Harry. They can go to each other's places with no one seeing.
Right. No, but I agree with the Fug Girls. That is a lot of pressure, especially because not only are they forced into this situation as sisters-in-law, but there are so few people in the world who relate. It's really like they kind of have to hit it off.
Yeah. And I mean, that's the thing. It's not in any way a normal sister-in-law dynamic because in most cases, you don't really have to see or deal with your brother or sister-in-law that often, but in this case, it's like their one ally is each other.
Right, and Meghan is having bridesmaids. That's right, right? But she's not having Kate as a bridesmaid. Is that correct?
Yeah, I guess. Or, I mean, that's the thinking, because Kate wouldn't want to steal. I mean, the whole thing is also interesting because Kate's going to have just given birth, like, you know, 5 or 6 weeks prior.
I hope she brings the newborn to the wedding just to steal some
thunder. That would be kind of amazing, and a kind of stealing the thunder moment if she unveils the baby, waits to announce the name and baby until that Meghan's wedding.
Oh, I would love that.
It's sort of like how Kim Kardashian did that backdoor pilot of showing Chicago for the first time in Kylie's video.
Right.
If you have any other thoughts on Kate Meghan, let us know. We also definitely, I want to know more about what these healthy eating tips she's giving Kate, who's been through this twice already. I feel like Kate probably wants to be like, I know what's up, you know? Anyways, we are we'll obviously be monitoring that closely, but we are now going to return to a topic we talked about at length last week, which is the Jennifer Aniston, Justin Theroux split, which I didn't really know we were going to kind of be the gossip item that kept on giving, or I guess I did, but I wasn't expecting it to be this surprising, I guess.
Right, this character that has emerged is really the hero of the story I didn't even know I needed.
Yeah, I mean, I was thinking about some of the people who we'd be excited to hear from or comment, like Brad or Angelina or Courtney Cox. We haven't really heard anything from any of them. But we have heard a lot about the Aniston Theroux split from Justin Theroux's New York neighbor, who is kind of become this, I don't even know, I was about to say cult hero, but his name, for Team Aniston, he's kind of become a mascot, I guess. He is not a fan of Justin. As TMZ puts it, he thinks Justin's the devil.
And we should preface this by saying that a big factor in the split was that Jennifer Aniston did not like living in New York,
yes.
Did not like living in Justin's apartment there.
So yeah, right. I think we mentioned this last week, but a big factor seems to have been this long distance relationship. And Julie, his name is Norman Reznikow, and he is Justin's neighbor. And he told TMZ that Jen has always been nice to him and he feels sorry for her because he believes Justin tried to force her to like his New York City pad and then bailed on her because she didn't. Reznikow says, everyone knows Jennifer hated the place and he suggests she get top lawyers to protect herself against Theroux, who, quote, is acting crummy to her like he did to me, unquote. He adds he's rooting for Jen because she named her most beloved dog Norman, which is his name. Oh, so much to love here.
So much to love. I would happily read an Us Weekly, like 20 questions with Norman Reznikow.
Yeah. I think that we should just start following. The Daily Mail should just follow Norman Reznikow as if he's his own celebrity figure. Like, I want to know what he gets up to on a daily basis and who he sees. I want to know what he does. I want to know more about his background. Right. I love that he's rooting for Jen partly because she named her dog his name.
Right. Although I haven't read I know I've seen a lot of headlines in the past about Justin having this war with his New York City neighbor. So I feel like there's a lot of history. But love that even in spite of that history, Norman still has fond feelings for Jen.
Well, so part of this history is that he's just filed new legal documents in this back and forth. He's saying that there's water damage from Justin's apartment, which has seeped into his living room. This is like the next season of Feud should be about these two, I think. But anyway, it seeped into his living room. And he's saying that the water from Justin's apartment has caused his apartment to become infested with mold. And he's saying it's so bad, he has to take medication to deal with the effects of it. And TMZ, if you're interested, has a pretty grimy on-the-scene photo of the alleged water damage, I guess, provided by Norman. So there's a lot happening here with this back and forth.
This is insane.
So do you think, I read this to believe that he knew Jen somehow, or that Jen was, when Jen was in New York, she kind of, you know, gave him a little hello or made small talk in the elevator, right? I mean, why? Because he's really going out of his way to take Jen's side here.
That's what I assumed. I could see Jen, like, coming in after a day of shopping, smiling, asking Norman how he is. I could see how that would go a far way with Norman, considering this acrimonious...
Norman's obviously a very sensitive dude. And maybe Jen signs a, you know, poster for his niece or something, you know? And
right, then, maybe she accepted a package on his behalf at some point.
Yeah, I feel like they had like a fun little hijinks happened or something. Like maybe a paparazzi was standing outside for Jen and then Jen said something like, oh, they're here for you, Norman, you know?
Oh, and,
like, I feel like they had good banter.
I love that fantasy fiction exchange. I love that you think that they had good banter.
But then everything came crashing down because Justin, well, I guess it all depends who you believe. Justin's rep then told TMZ.
I love Justin's rep responded.
I know, this is an intense back and forth. Justin's rep told TMZ, Reznikow's bizarre comments might carry more weight had he ever actually met Jen or toured Justin's apartment, neither of which has ever happened. Can you imagine having to craft this statement? And then, as for the alleged water damage, the rep says Justin's deck and apartment had nothing to do with it. Seems a little fishy to me. What do you think?
I agree. I just hope TMZ really follows through with the story. Clearly, there's a lot of material here.
But also, the fact that these two are coexisting as neighbors still is crazy. I mean, I feel enough stress in my daily life as is, and I feel like when you get home, that's your safe space. I'm bringing too much of myself into this now, probably. But Norman will do that, I guess, with his relatable tale. But I feel... can you imagine dealing with this public feud, right, and you're as a neighbor in your beloved New York pad?
Right. I have so many questions for Norman. Is he a huge Friends fan? I feel like he has met Jennifer, interacted with her at some point.
It's a little fit. I think so too, because I think it's a little strange how the Thoreau statement makes such a point to say, had he ever actually met Jen? I feel like he did meet Jen, and now they're trying to somehow cast doubt on that.
Well, if we know anything, like if that statement from Justin's rep is incorrect, we're going to hear about it from Norman.
Yeah, I want a Norman press conference.
Attended by you and me.
Norman, we will set up, we'll book a hotel lobby. Julie and I will both come in full regalia. I don't know what that even means, but we will.
We'll provide smart water.
Yeah, we will bring ample smart water, Elvina, Neutrogena, what are her other campaigns? We'll bring like Jen, I don't know what, like DVDs of The Good Girl, that movie she was in. We're ready. I kind of want him to take to the streets with this campaign.
I do too. And I wonder if this has anything to do with Justin feeling like he posted an Instagram.
Oh, right.
That seemed very aimed at kind of getting some goodwill back on his team.
Well, so he returned to social media. So I clicked so quickly, maybe not as quickly as Julie clicked on the Megan Kate advice, but pretty quickly, because I was hoping it somehow was going to be a long, rambling comment on the split rumors or something. But instead, it was just about rescue dogs, which is, you know, great and admirable, but not related to gossip at all. But then it was just, I don't know, what do you think about this, Julie? But he tagged Selena Gomez in this post.
Right, it was a hashtag, Selena Gomez.
And...
right, who, as you note...
yeah, is friends with Jen. So he tagged... there's a few things that are weird. Selena Gomez really doesn't have anything to do with the content other than that she also has rescue dogs. But as People puts it, the hashtag was just for some, quote, added star power, which is kind of weird on its own. But then it's doubly weird because Selena and Jen are sort of, I guess not famously, but they're like buddies. I think Selena's posted her on Instagram and said that Jen's one of her biggest idols. It's
and
kind
mentors.
Of interesting that... yeah, exactly. So it's kind of interesting, don't you think, that he picked Selena as the one to highlight? What do you read into that?
That is bizarre. Right. It's just a photo of him holding puppies with a long caption that I couldn't have bothered to read.
Yeah, a long caption, then all these things, and then hashtag Selena Gomez. I don't know. It's a little inscrutable, but the combination of the Norman news
right.
and this makes me fully team Jen right now.
I know. Did he just want to divert the Justin Theroux narrative to puppy dog rescues?
Mm-hmm.
As if I needed more ammunition, I guess, to be on Team Jen. I am there. Team Jen and Team Norman.
Team Norman. I think that's we can both agree on that. I don't know. I'm curious to see how this plays out. Jen's been very quiet since. So I want Jen to join Instagram. I think that's also part of my, I don't know, hope right now.
Right. We'll put that on our vision board. I wonder if Norman's comments get back to Jen at all.
Yeah. I want Jen to comment on the Norman feud. I feel like that's also necessary here. I want Jen to say, you know, Norman and I actually have had like 3 coffee dates. We've texted a few times. I want her to really come to his side and vindicate his argument.
No one makes a better margarita than Norman, right?
I will also point out that in addition to the scene of the alleged water damage, TMZ also has a photo of Norman on the premises of Justin's apartment during their like back and forth last year.
Wow. Trespassing?
No, it looks like he's just checking out the damage or something. It's a little strange, this whole thing. You know, we also need a third party neighbor in the Justin Theroux Norman building to weigh in here.
Right.
Because I feel like we need someone who's unbiased here, who's never seen an episode of Friends and can just kind of offer their take.
Right.
Wow.
If any of our listeners live in this building or know someone who does, let us know.
I see sort of why Jen didn't want to spend time there with this crazy water damage neighbor feud scenario. I would stay away too.
Right. Does not seem like good energy over there.
God. All right. Well, who thought we would ever spend this much time talking about Justin Theroux's neighbor on this podcast? Actually, maybe someone could have. Let's go back to the Royals. Are you up on this Prince Harry, Meghan, ex-girlfriend scenario tale?
No, but I am very curious to hear about it.
So we should preface that this is fully in the realm of Daily Mail report, so we cannot say for sure if it's the case or not, but that hasn't stopped us before. Harry is apparently going to be inviting not one, but both of his ex-girlfriends to his wedding, to Ms. Markle, Chelsea Davy and Cressida Bonas. Chelsea, he dated on and off for 7 years, long relationship, and Cressida, he dated for 2 years. Chelsea is now, like, she graduated law school. She just started a jewelry line.
Oh my gosh. This line in the script, dear readers, is amazing. Josh is about to read it.
Cressida is now acting as a dog is what I had written here. I think we mentioned this last week too, but she's in a play playing a dog, and the Daily Mail has like 80 photos of her in character as this dog. I just can't get over it. Cressida's claim to fame is also that when she was dating Prince Harry, she stepped out in some bejeweled moccasins, which I tried to recreate and sew by hand. Anyway, as far as we know, he's friendly with both. Chelsea has said in an interview in 2016 that she believes she and Harry will always be good friends. At that time, actually, it was rumored that they were maybe rekindling their romance. This was before the Meghan news broke. So Chelsea's still in touch with Harry. Cressida's in with sort of the whole crowd, the Princess Beatrice and Eugenie crew. So it's not the most shocking thing in the world that they'd be invited, but I think sort of by modern, I don't know, any other non-royal standards, it would be seen as a pretty weird no. And Harry, the Daily Mail says that one of Harry's friends has said, Harry has stayed good friends with both of them, so they will be there. He made sure there were no hard feelings when they split up. I don't think Meghan will mind. Julie, do you think Meghan will mind?
I think Meghan would kind of mind, especially because as of last week, we heard that Harry was really trying to keep numbers down on the guests at the wedding. So,
and now it's, you know, hey, babe, I'm wanting to add both of my exes.
There was ever to be a cut. Right. Because Meghan isn't inviting, like, her ex-husband, I would imagine.
Right. Well, that's what's interesting, too. It's also just, to me, like a distraction or something. Like, you know, no matter what, there's going to be Daily Mail headlines galore about Cressida and Chelsea at this wedding now, you know? I mean, it's going to be overshadowed by everything else, and it's not going to be the main story, but it just adds another kind of, I don't know. If I was Megan, I'd be a little bit, you know, why do I need this distraction?
I love picturing like George or someone on Harry's team kind of stirring up the drama, saying like, oh, Megan won't mind. You should totally invite them.
I also love the idea when you said that. I was just thinking how funny it would be to be at this wedding and you end up at Chelsea Davies' table. So you kind of get, you know, maybe you're a few glasses of wine in and you can really kind of dish on what's going on with what she really thinks about Meghan. I feel like that would be really fun.
I feel like that's the table to be seated.
Yeah. And I didn't realize this until today, but apparently this is actually sort of somewhat normal in the sense that William's exes all came to his wedding to Kate, and Camilla, who had dated Prince Charles briefly, went to the Charles Diana wedding. So it's kind of a royal thing, so to speak, that, you know, it's such a tight-knit sort of these circles they run in that I guess it just sort of happens and you go with it.
It's kind of a tradition of awkwardness, right? I would nix that tradition if I was...
Yeah, I don't really get... I'm not sure I totally understand. But I'm interested to see if it ends up coming to pass. There's been so many stories, I feel like, about who's invited, who's not invited, and I feel like we don't really have any clue until the actual wedding. Who would be your dream, like, unexpected celeb guest or someone that if you found out they were at the wedding, you would just be really excited?
Aside from Norman.
And Norman makes a trip to campaign for Team Jen at Meghan's wedding.
Who would I be excited about? What about you? I think like Jennifer Aniston, I would love to see there. Like Tom Hardy, I think would make a phenomenal wedding guest.
And I feel like there's an outside chance. Is he friends with Harry? I'd love to see Rihanna at the wedding.
Oh.
And Harry and Rihanna have hung out a few times. And
I would love that.
I feel like she would be a fun performer.
She would show up 3 hours into the reception.
Yeah.
It'd be a whole scene.
I don't know if I totally see it happening, but it would be fun. I do kind of want someone unexpected like that to be the surprise either performer or guest.
Like right.
These Ed Sheeran rumors aren't doing it for me. I want someone more dynamic.
Agreed. At this point, I'd take the pony major too.
Oh yeah, the pony major. The pony major. We should really round up our troops of these fringe
our characters.
That the mother of the woman who owns the bakery who went after Meghan's pronunciation of scone, Norman. We're always getting these kind of oddball fringe heroes.
Right, our in the limelight army.
I know. Get us all together and we'll be able to take on anyone. That does it, I think, for this week's episode. Thank you guys so much for listening. We really appreciate it. And you can rate, review us on Apple Podcasts. We love to hear what you think. And please leave your comments.
Right. And if anyone has any intel about the wedding, about any of the guests of the wedding, if anyone has like a peripheral friend involved in any way, please reach out to us. Also, feel free to reach out to us on Twitter at In the Limelight. You can also follow us individually. I'm at Julie W. Miller.
And I'm Jay Duboff. We also are on Instagram at In the Limelight Pod. This episode was edited and produced by Danielle Roth. Thanks so much for joining us. We will talk to you next week for our Oscars edition to debrief everything that goes on at Oscar Sunday. And until then,
no bad energy. So synced up.
That was really good. Woo!